Reading from Proverbs 2, 1 through 11. My son, if you accept my words and store up my commandments within you, turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding, and if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, and if you look for it as silver and search for it as for hidden treasure, then you will forget the fear of the, you will understand the fear of the Lord and find a knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom, and from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He holds victory in store for the upright. He is a shield to those whose walk is blameless. For he guards the course of the just and protects the ways of his faithful ones. Then you will understand what is right and just and fair, every good path. For the wisdom will enter your heart, and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion will protect you, and understanding will guard you.
Thank you. You know, you've heard some of them before, things that we call conventional wisdom. You can't judge a book by its cover, although a lot of folks do, especially, I think, those dime store novels that used to be out that had whatever that guy was, it was always on the cover. People judge those just by looking at the cover. You get what you pay for. You must get 8 hours of sleep in order to be rested and prepared for the next day. The older I get, the less sleep I seem to get, but feet of cold, starve a fever. Common colds are caused by getting wet and then getting chilled. Y'all have heard those before, right? Or maybe you've heard some that, in a slightly different way, Confucius says, man who lives in glass house should not throw stones. My variation on that is, Confucius says, man who lives in glass house should make sure the lights are off before he changes clothes. We have a little sign hanging up in the kitchen, which I think is probably, at least for us, conventional wisdom. I mentioned this to someone yesterday who talked about being sick, and they said, you know, I've been eating a lot of grilled cheese lately. Well, we've got a sign that says grilled cheese and tomato soup will fix anything. If nothing else, it'll at least make you feel comfortable, right, and feel satisfied. And we could go on and on and on. Conventional wisdom, a term with which we're familiar. Some of the synonyms are things that are commonplace, or we say it's commonly believed or commonly thought. Conventional wisdom is a general acceptance of ideas without even questioning them. It is a belief or judgment about something so accepted that we no longer question it, right? For growing numbers of people, though, in the 21st century, in what we call the postmodern era, everything, though, is to be questioned, is it not? Everything is to be questioned, and the statement, as we've mentioned before, that is often made is, there's no such thing as absolute truth. So question everything, except they don't want to question the statement that there's no such thing as absolute truth. For these persons, wisdom is whatever seems true for me in a particular moment and in a particular situation. For many folks these days, and I'm not talking just about young people, because more and more persons age 50 and up use this approach as well. The conventional wisdom, or the wisdom for any particular point in time, is mine, for me. But if you really want to be my friend, it will be yours too. Often the immediacy of the moment outweighs or even covers up the possible longer-ranged consequences of those decisions, of that wisdom, and I would put quotation marks around that, those air quotation marks, that wisdom of the moment. In some ways, this seems, in their minds, many persons' minds today, to free one of the responsibility to consider the effects on those around them. We've mentioned before the whole idea within early Hebrew thought of corporate personality, where before I actually carry on a decision or carry it out, I have a moral and religious obligation to think about its consequences and its effects, not only on me, but those around. The writer in Proverbs is very much aware of this. And he would have faced some of the similar issues even in ancient times, though perhaps not as widespread as we sometimes do. Many people think that the writer of Proverbs was Solomon, although there are a couple of other names mentioned in here as well concerning different Proverbs. If he is indeed Solomon, he had seen and heard all kinds of wisdom from all over the known world. In fact, we do know that Solomon not only read other wisdom literature, but we do know that Solomon brought into his court sages and soothsayers and wise men from other parts of the world to come and to share that. Though he had prayed to God that he wanted wisdom most of all, and God said, I'll give you that, even Solomon sought those others whom he considered wise to come and help him. But, quite frankly, if it is Solomon, there are times in his life that I question the wisdom that he used. I don't think it was so great. Not really a great thing to divide the land into 12 judicial districts, all of them paying taxes except for Judah. Created social unrest. Building the temple seemed like a wonderful thing. But then Solomon declared that ritual was to become more important than anything else, and only the king and his invited guests could go inside the temple. Created some religious unrest. But then there's that other thing for which I think his wisdom suffers greatly. I don't know about you, but it's all I can do to even attempt to give proper time and attention to one spouse, much less 1,000 women. Don't think he was very wise. Not only were there issues there, but what made it even worse was Solomon then allowed those foreign wives to continue to worship their gods, some even inside the palace. Sometimes I don't think Solomon took his own advice, especially concerning wisdom. But here, I think, the writer, whether Solomon or someone else, has come to realize that true wisdom and attaining true wisdom is not something that is simply conventional, but rather it is conditional and contingent. Hence the title today, Conditional Wisdom. The writer here begins speaking to those who might read as a child, in particular, my son, a child for whom there is great care, not only care physically, but even more so care that the life of that child, or for us reading this, our lives would be cared for by God and would be carefully lived. In fact, he begins, my son, if you receive my words and treasure up my commandments with you, is my translation, but the word, as Ariel read, the word is better, within you. It's not something that you just take and you say, okay, well, I got this book of rules and regulations and I'm going to walk around with it. Rather, it's supposed to be something that we internalize. Because when we internalize that wisdom and those teachings and those commandments, then regardless of what we face, we always have access to that wisdom. And so it's no coincidence that the word means to treasure up within you. It becomes a part of you. And the whole point of wisdom here, he says, the condition of wisdom is to seek it, to internalize it, to make it a part of you so that you will live your life accordingly. And so that you will be in right relationship with God and others. So he says, treasure up my commandments within you, making your ear attentive to wisdom and inclining your heart to understanding. The writer gives us some prerequisites for obtaining wisdom, and in particular obtaining wisdom from God. First of all, there must be a receptive spirit. We should, if we are going to attain wisdom, we should, with our spirits, be receptive to that wisdom. Not shutting it out, but being open to receiving wisdom from God. Though wisdom does come from God, it is not something that is forced. And it can't be given properly to those who do not know how to receive it. So we are to have a receptive spirit and to open ourselves to receiving that wisdom. To really desire. To have a receptive and teachable spirit. Where we don't think we know everything, but we admit not only that there are things which we need to receive, but then we truly are open to receiving those teachings and those commands. If we're to gain the benefit of wisdom, this is a must, to have a receptive and teachable spirit. A second prerequisite or condition here is to carefully and urgently seek wisdom. Seek wisdom. In fact, the words used are very strong and descriptive in verses 3 and 4. If you cry out for insight and raise your voice for understanding, if you seek it like silver and search for it as for hidden treasures, an ardent search, a strong search. One who looks for silver doesn't just sit there and passively say, okay, show yourself. Those who go out searching for gold, and they took their pans and their pickaxes and everything else. They didn't just go and then sit the pan down next to the stream, lay the pickaxe down beside it, and say, okay, gold, jump in there. Rather, and they didn't just wish for it, rather they worked hard to attain it, right? They dug for it. They panned for it. They searched diligently to find even a small nugget of gold. What the writer here is saying is that when a person desires wisdom enough to cry out for it, that is to plead for it, and to work for it, like the man digging for silver, to do the work of attaining wisdom, she or he will find it. But we must earnestly seek. If you search for it as for hidden treasure. You went to the prodigal, talking about the puppy earlier, and that was a good illustration. I actually was misled because I thought you were going to go for the earlier two, either seeking the lost sheep, and when the shepherd finds it, he comes back and says, come and rejoice with me, for that which was lost I have found. Or the woman looking for that coin that she had lost in the house. And did all that cleaning. I sometimes wonder if she did so much where she found it was under the dust that was collected in the corner. but did all of that cleaning and all that searching until she found it and then rejoiced because she had found it, perhaps spending days searching for that coin. It's that kind of seeking of wisdom and understanding that the writer of Proverbs is instructing us to do in this passage. To earnestly seek. But he also states that in order for us to do that, we must have a proper fear of the Lord. That is, a proper sense of reverence and respect and awe in searching for these things. Those who have proper fear of the Lord will attain wisdom and will attain understanding. In fact, in chapter 1 of Proverbs, in verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And that's not being afraid, as we've said, that's not being afraid of God, but earnestly understanding who God is and having a proper reverence. Of course, there he also says that we're foolish if we despise wisdom, if we don't do the work, if we don't seek it out diligently. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. We are to seek that and recognize that it comes from God. And when we hear that wisdom, our mind is to be applied to the understanding. The understanding of what we hear, the understanding of what we read, the understanding of that teaching, the inquiry that we have made. And then we are to use our voice to seek more, but also to share that which we learn. One of the things that we find here in the rest of this passage, and we could go through the end of the chapter and find more instruction and more results of seeking wisdom. For the Lord gives wisdom, from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk in integrity, guarding the paths of justice and preserving the way of his saints. We are then to do something with it. Wisdom for wisdom's sake is no good. Rather, it should come forth in our ethics as well. In fact, throughout the biblical text, but especially in the Hebrew Scriptures, the Old Testament, religion and ethics are inseparable. Example that I've used before in another venue, and I sometimes use with students when we talk about these things, religion and ethics being inseparable, is unfortunately there are far too many people that have different jackets in their closets for different occasions. And when they get ready to go to church or they go to a religious function, they go in there and they say, I'm going to put on my Jesus jacket. And they act a certain way with their Jesus jacket on, and then when they get home, they hang it up. Then they were going to go out to a ball game with their friends. And so, I'm going to put on my fan jacket. And it may not represent the same ethics as the Jesus jacket. And they come home from the game and they hang up the fan jacket. And then the friends want them to go to a party. And so they, not the Jesus jacket. That won't work. The fan, no, that's for ball. There's my party jacket. And the ethics that go along with the party jacket are one thing, and then they come home and they hang that up. And a lot of times after they do that, then they're hoping that the Jesus jacket is going to work when they put it on and say, please, Jesus. And so, he's saying here that religion and ethics have to go together in all of life's situations. The Lord is the source of all of that, and the search cannot be fruitless because God will reveal it, but the search cannot be separated from how we live. Sound wisdom comes from God, but sound wisdom also is hidden from those who do not seek it properly from God. If we don't properly seek it from God, we're not going to find it simply because we're so great and wonderful or so smart. The smartest people in the world, without a connection to God, are less smart than those who have a connection to God in the ways that matter. And when God gives that for those who truly seek it and want to carry it within them, that wisdom is a shield for those who carry it within them and use it with integrity. That is completeness. That wisdom guards the paths of justice. That is fairness, treating folks justly. And it preserves the way of his saints. Doesn't mean it preserves his saints. It preserves the way, the manner in which we are to live. Saints, George Arthur Buttrick, a New Testament scholar and one of the main editors for the Interpreter's Bible last century, middle of last century, said, "A saint is someone who loses self in serving God and others." Integrity, justice, and the way of sainthood are preserved for those who seek wisdom and then use it to serve God and others. But in verse 10, we're also reminded that wisdom and knowledge are not natural for us, nor are they forced upon us. Wisdom will come into your heart, and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion will watch over you. Understanding will guard you. Only when, in verse 9, we have sought it out. It is not something that God forces upon us. It's not something that God tilts our head and pours it in one ear. For some, it would run out the other. Sorry, I just had this image. The Apple Dumpling Gang, that movie. Don't know if you've ever seen it before. You may not even remember the scene. Tim Conway and Don Knotts. And at one point, Don Knotts looks at Tim Conway and says, "You know, when the Lord was giving out brains, he used a teaspoon for you and his hand shook." That's not wisdom and knowledge. Wisdom and knowledge are those things that are not forced upon us or put within us simply because we claim to be a follower of God. True wisdom and knowledge are things for which we must willingly search and then be open to accepting. And they are things that we will use with discretion and understanding. Discretion and understanding, not just for our benefit, but discretion and understanding of how that wisdom and that knowledge will help others. So wisdom, conventional, is not always the best in the world. But conditional wisdom, if indeed we seek it from God, and we do so diligently, doing the hard work not only of finding that wisdom and accepting it, but sometimes even the more difficult work of living it, will result in finding full life with God and with others. May we pray. Gracious God, give us opportunities to seek your wisdom. Help us open our eyes that we might diligently search and have an open spirit. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Our closing hymn is 692. God will take care of you. And that does happen. But sometimes the conditions are our acceptance and our search. As we stand and as we sing, hymn number 692. God will take care of you.